We are coming to a text in the book of Romans, a lot from Romans in our service today. So turn to Romans chapter 8. Our sermon passage will be Romans 8, verses 26 and 27, but I want to read verses 18 to 28. So the sermon text is verses 26 and 27, but I want to read Romans 8, verses 18 to 28. This is God's inspired holy word. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And then this is our sermon text. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So this passage is a text for the exhausted in prayer. If you've ever prayed about something so long, you've come at it from every angle, you've looked in Scripture, and you've prayed, and you've prayed, and you've prayed. Maybe you've sought counsel, you don't know what to do, or you're suffering under something specific. And then finally, you're done. You have no energy left. And in the words of this text, you are groaning in prayer. This text speaks to those times. Maybe even you're worried that you don't know what the right thing to pray is anymore. You've prayed and you thought, maybe I just shouldn't even be asking for this anymore. I've asked, and I don't know if I should ask for this anymore. Without question, I think in the life of my family, the times when we had new infants were the hardest, most exhausting times. No pressure for the pregnant ladies in our gathering here today. But the thing is that you don't sleep at those times so long that you get to a point where you forget what it was like to sleep, and you're both physically exhausted and you are spiritually drained. You cease really knowing what to pray for at those times. But it's at the times when we are at the end of ourselves, when we simply are not able to pray and do what is required of us, even in our own strength, that God does some of his best work. This is the logic of the book of Romans, even if you think about the end of Romans 7. Paul has been struggling with the fact that the law requires this newness of life. And he's reflecting both in the history of Israel, but I think in his own experience, he is realizing that interiorly he desires to do what God calls him to do, but he sees a principle at work in him over and over again that defies God's law, that lives and enjoys his sin in ways that are very disturbing to him. And he finishes asking, who will deliver me from this body of death? See, he's at the end of himself. And he comes to the peak of gratitude at the end of Romans 7. Thanks be to God, he says, through Christ Jesus our Lord. And then the turn in the new chapter, Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He goes from reflecting on the dark condition that we're in as human beings in Adam to the justification that we've enjoyed in Christ, to the work of sanctification in the Spirit, but the fact that it's very difficult to actually walk in the way we're called to. And where he comes now to our passage in Romans 8 is really focusing on the application of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Spirit starts to shine in Romans 8. And he says things like this about the Spirit. We walk now according to the Spirit. We set our minds on the things of the Spirit. As Christ was raised and resurrected and seated at the right hand, God has poured out, it says, his Spirit on us. And now he's taken up his dwelling in you as sanctuaries of God himself. I think one of my favorite sections in these references to the Holy Spirit in Romans 8 is this. He says, we did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but we received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So you were a slave. You were not able to do anything that God called you to do, but he's set you free. He's given you a new status in Christ. He's made you his child. You deserve and you possess now the inheritance of Christ. But he goes through these references to the Holy Spirit's work, and then he gets to this cosmic groaning, as we read about. The whole creation is groaning, waiting for the resurrection of God's people. And all of this brings him then to a reflection on prayer, as we said. And I want us to see just one main thought, but broken into three parts. You need to see this morning that you are a weak people, that you are those who are weak in your prayers. Second, I want you to see that you're helped by the Holy Spirit. And then finally, that your prayers, prayed by the Holy Spirit, are always heard by the Father. So first, you are people that are weak in prayer. Second, you are helped by the Holy Spirit. And then third, the Father always hears your prayers prayed by the Holy Spirit. So first, you have to understand and acknowledge your weakness in prayer. As I said, Paul moves from the groans of all creation to your particular groaning, your weakness. But if you are trying to take in the fact that the Spirit intercedes for you, you need to know what problem that's answering. And he says it's a kind of weakness, a vulnerability. It's another way that this word is used is it's infirmity. It's being vulnerable to and being infirm. It's the same term when Jesus goes in the preaching of the kingdom in the Gospels, and people are brought to him that are sick and needy. It's the same term that's used. There were many brought to him who were infirm with different sicknesses. I mean, think about that term, infirm. It's not solid, not reliable. I had something recently where I had a pain shooting down my leg, and for about 2 weeks, I just pretended it wasn't happening, and then I finally went to the doctor, and we did probably too many tests, and the doctor finally said, I can't do anything for you. This is how bodies are. You're just going to have to get used to some aches and pains. But what happens when our bodies start to decay and start to break down? We get vulnerable. We realize that we are weak in ourselves. We are not whole the way that we were intended to be. But it's hard to realize that you're weak. It's actually hard to acknowledge that you need the intercession of the Holy Spirit. And I want to ask why. I think one reason is pride. Why is it so hard to get the words out of your mouth, I am weak and I need help? I can't do this on my own. Here's the way that Christ speaks to the church of Laodicea in Revelation 3. He says, here's the problem with you. You say to me, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing. And Christ says, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. It's a pretty strong statement from Christ to the church of Laodicea, but we are often a proud people. We don't want to acknowledge our vulnerability and our neediness. But I think we're also embarrassed sometimes. We don't want to, even before God, we want to pretend. We want to present strength. We want to pretend as if everything is fine and we're strong. We have kind of the British keep calm and carry on way of handling ourselves. But Christ says you have to acknowledge that you are wretched and pitiable and poor and blind and naked. You need the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not physical vulnerability. I was using those images to demonstrate to us that we are weak, but he's getting at something specific. What kind of weakness is he speaking about? He's talking about weakness in prayer. He says, verse 26, we do not know what to pray for as we ought. That's the kind of weakness that he's speaking about. It's that moment, like I said at the outset, where you do not know what to pray for anymore, and you don't know how to pray any longer. But sometimes God has to shine and show us, shine the light on us and show us our pride, show us even sometimes our shame, so that he can help us, so that he can actually provide for us what we really need. It's when you've come through pride, when you've dealt with your embarrassment, that you can finally say, I am weak, and I don't even know what to pray for as I ought. Well, first, we have to know and understand our weakness. But second, I want us to see that the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. What's the help that he provides in the text? Well, it's two times that he says he intercedes for us. Notice that. The Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And then at the end of verse 27, the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We often think about Jesus interceding at the right hand of the Father, but here it's talking about the Holy Spirit interceding for us in our prayers. Well, what is intercession? I think intercession is someone going on your behalf and in your place, speaking the words that you can't speak yourself. Someone going in your place to a place you can't go and speaking the words that you can't speak for yourself. One of my favorite examples of intercession in the Bible is Queen Esther, the story of Queen Esther in the Old Testament. If you remember, Haman has come up with this plot, and he has set a day. He has schemed a day when every Jewish person, father, mother, and child, will be destroyed, and all of their possessions will be pillaged and given to their enemies. There's one day appointed for the destruction of all of God's people. But there's one hope left for them. If the queen of Persia will go into the king and plead their case, they have a hope. At first, she says to her cousin Mordecai, no, I can't go. There's not been a summoning for 30 days. But then finally, she says, I will go to the king. And if I perish, I perish. See, Queen Esther, the most beautiful woman in the whole land, because of her position as the queen, could go where the Jews could not go, into the court of the king, and say the words they couldn't say for themselves. She could intercede for them and plead their case. That's what the Holy Spirit does for you. He goes into heaven itself now, before the Father, and pleads your case using words that you don't even have anymore, and you don't know to plead the case that you're not able to plead. If you're a sibling and you've gotten in trouble, you often think about how to break the news to your parents. When we would get in trouble, we would often ask, I have two older brothers and a younger sister. We'd often ask this bright-eyed little sister to go and break the news to our parents. And the occasion I was thinking about as I was preparing the sermon was, we had a cistern growing up. There was no running water in our neighborhood. So a cistern is a tank of water that's pumped into the house so you have running water. And the pump was set just underground, but exposed was a PVC pipe. And we, I think three times in our childhood, kicked a ball, threw a ball, something, whacked the PVC pipe, and it just exploded with water. And then the situation is mom and dad are napping or something, and someone has to run in and tell them that this has happened. Who do you send to break the hard news to your family? Well, we always sent our youngest sister to plead our case and tell what had happened. The Spirit speaks for you, intercedes for you, and shares the words that you don't have to the Father. So first, you really need to know this morning that you're a vulnerable, needy people. You need to acknowledge and see that you often are at the end of yourself, and yet the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is able to help you in your weakness. But what good is all of that if it's not heard, if it's not received? What good is it for Esther to go into the court of the king and ask for the life of her people if he says no? And so the question that we have to ask at the close of this sermon is, are we heard? I mean, can you actually have your case pled and have someone actually open the door and say yes on your behalf? So finally, I want you to see that the Father always listens to the Spirit's prayers. The Father always listens to the Spirit's prayers. I mean, have you ever wondered, again, when you come to the end of yourself and you've prayed and you've prayed, have you ever wondered, maybe I'm just not praying right? I mean, doesn't James say that? He says, you do not have because you do not ask, and you don't have because you ask wrongly. Have you ever thought to yourself, I keep asking, it doesn't seem like God is answering. I must be asking wrongly. Well, according to this text, the Spirit intercedes for you when you are not able to pray anymore. And he prays according to the will of God. He prays perfectly for you. You remember the disciples came to Christ and said, Lord, teach us to pray. They sensed their own insufficiency and they asked to be taught in prayer. And we do need to grow in our prayers. We need to learn the scriptures and pray in a biblical way that echoes God's words back to him. But even when you pray imperfectly, the Spirit is interceding for you according to the will of God. The Spirit speaks the words that you don't have and goes to the place where you can't go. And the Father always listens. The door that you've been knocking at all life long as a Christian is open to you over and over again. The Spirit takes imperfect prayers, even takes our groanings, as this text says, and perfects them and speaks them perfectly before the Father, and he always answers them. Well, we've been focusing on this first and third persons of the Trinity, the Father and the Holy Spirit, having this inter-Trinitarian conversation where the Father is listening and the Spirit is interceding for us. But what makes us confident that we are worthy to be heard based on what the Spirit is saying? What is your confidence as the Spirit pleads your case in intercession before the Father? Why can the Father listen to you and your prayers? There's a great hymn that says these words, how can I come, my soul may say, I'm lame and cannot walk. My guilt has stopped my mouth. My guilt and sin have stopped my mouth. I sigh, but dare not talk. I mean, if you really sense your weakness today, and you know your insufficiency as a Christian, what is it that makes you presentable before your Father who is in heaven? As the Spirit prays according to the will of God, what is it that makes you be able to be heard? It's Christ. It's only Christ and what he's done for you. The whole life of Christ is a prayer offered for the people of God. He poured out his life before unrighteous men, his birth sinlessly conceived, his life of obedience before God, and his death and his resurrection is what makes you worthy to be presented before the Father who is in heaven, if you think God hasn't known anything of what weakness is like, God hasn't been vulnerable, don't you realize that the Son took on your infirmities? He knew your weaknesses. He prayed. He cried out before the Father. He asked that the cup would be taken away from him. He prayed, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knew weakness. He knew vulnerability. He cried out, truly forsaken and vulnerable for you. He bore your sins. He carried your sorrows. And by his wounds, you are healed. It's because of his death, because the door was shut on Christ, that you can be confident in prayer, that it will never be closed on you as you cry out to your Father. See, Christ is left forsaken and alone so that you can be welcomed into the court of heaven itself. The King hears the cries of the people of Christ because the Son intercedes for them perfectly, and the Spirit adds his testimony for you. Christ says at the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane that his soul was in anguish in prayer. And it's because of the anguish that he has gone through that you can confidently pray before your Father in heaven. I'm bringing up the intercession of Christ because that's where Paul goes later in the book of Romans 8, verses 33 and 34. He says, there's nothing in your life left to condemn you. It's Christ who died, Christ who was risen, and he is seated at the most intimate place in the universe, at the right hand of your Father in heaven. And he is also, together with the Spirit, interceding for you. So first, acknowledge your own weakness. You are a people who need someone to plead your case for you. Acknowledge the help that God promises to you. The Holy Spirit addresses the Father perfectly according to God's will. And finally, be confident. Cry out confidently before your Father, because the case pled for you is Christ himself. And the gospel is the means by which you can know the door will never be shut in your face as you pray, even at a time like this. The one who was glorious and beautiful has given up his position in heaven to come down and love you and give his life up for you, so that when you plead your case in prayer, or when you're at the end of yourself, your prayers will always be heard. And it's because of what Christ has done that you can be confident to pray. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, Son, and Spirit, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the privilege of being welcomed in prayer before you. Lord, we confess to you that we often spend times demonstrating that we don't really know our neediness and our weakness because we don't pray, Lord. We confess to you that there are times when we draw away from you and have not spoken to you as little children, confident and yet dependent on our Father. We thank you that when we do pray for long periods and we run out of words, Lord, that the Spirit intercedes for us. Thank you, Christ, that your life is poured out as an offering for your people. Thank you that your perfection opens the door to heaven itself and welcomes us to pray and cry out as real children before our Father. Thank you, Father, that you always hear our prayers because of your Son. We thank you that we have life and no fear of being excluded from you today. Lord, as we come to your table, make both the bread and the wine a great blessing as we participate in Christ himself by the power of the Spirit. We ask that you would use these things as the means that you have ordained. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.